This podcast is sponsored by audible.com.au. There are over 150,000 audiobooks available for you to choose from. Choose from books based on legends like Michael Jordan, The Life, Educate Yourself with The Last Headbangers, NFL Football in the Rowdy, Reckless 70s, the era that created modern sports, and see a different side of sport with Brand NFL, Making and Selling American Sport, and many more. Get your first month free at audible.com.au/wootandwhy.
Ahoy, everyone.
Ahoy, what is that?
Ahoy.
Well, I guess it's themed. We've got Rum for Johnny on, so...
Exactly. It is episode 64. It is the 8th of the 8th. Happy birthday, Mr. Josh Y.
Thank you. Thank you, buddy. I'm another year older.
Another.
I'm a 25-year-old male sitting in my teenage angst-filled band, Death Cab for Cutie
I
bought last week.
I want to say that, you know, you've wisened up and you're matured and... Nothing's happened.
Nothing. Nothing has improved.
Same exact guy from high school.
Except I can grow facial hair a little bit better.
Patchy
now.
Facial hair.
Yeah. A little bit better.
We both can do that pretty well.
My younger brother is rocking a Stella Mo at the moment, and it's not fun.
It's not fun?
I've tried. I just can't do it. It's killing me.
If there's any optimism, my dad said that it took him a while. Okay. So I might. All right. So there's still a possibility I might.
You know how Facebook has suggested friends? Your dad last week's just been my number one suggested friend request.
Mate,
ad.
You might have to add him.
We might have to add the big man. How you going? I keep going on Facebook and just seeing your dad's face, and I was like,
he's new to the Facebook world.
Okay.
He just he thought, what is this Facebook everyone's talking about for the last decade?
My dad, right? I mentioned, he's like, oh, where did you hear that about? Oh, because a friend of ours passed away. And he said, where did you hear about that about? Facebook. I go, Dad, should get on it. And he goes, this is his go-to line. Don't believe in it. I said, Dad, it's a thing. He goes, I don't care. Don't believe in it.
It's not a faith.
No, I know. It's not a religion. He goes, oh, he's bloody cult. I'm not into it. And that's it. That's his go-to line. Don't believe in it.
I remember a lot of people used to sign up to Facebook to play, like, online poker.
Yes.
And things like that. And then... After that, a lot of the older generation just dropped off.
They dropped off. Now it's Farmville. Go away. Stop it. Stop sending me Candy Crush requests.
Candy Crush, exactly.
Doing my absolute head in.
All right, anyway.
All right, I hope you liked our new intro. Our official sponsor from Audible Australia. Our good friends at Gold Coast, Lights, Camera, Action, Gold Coast. Gerald Porschman produced that voiceover for us, so thanks to him. But, yeah, please head to audible.com.au/wootandwhy. Sign up for your free audiobook. The Michael Jordan, The Life one that we mentioned, is 12 hours long. I'm up to my fourth hour. So good.
So good?
So good. It's worth it. If that's all you get out of it, that's fine, but give it a go.
Yep. Mailing list.
Yes.
Sign up, people.
Well, we have 100.
We have 100?
I'm proud. We got over the 100 mark.
That's great.
Yes, I was telling myself, let's try and get to 100 before my birthday. A little bit of a present from the Root and Wire community.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
You made,
I'm a happy man.
That's all he's been talking about all day. The 100. The 100
tip. Not my MacBook Pro that my girlfriend bought me, which is astonishing. So celebrate good times.
Yeah. So sign up to that. Keep up to date with everything that's going on with the Root and Wire show. All our competitions, all the fantasy leagues.
Yes.
All news, anything that's coming.
Yes, that's right. And speaking of competitions, in the next week or so, we'll be putting on our social media pages, our Twitter, our Facebook, our Instagram, our Bebo.
No,
we don't have Bebo. Links to they're going to be done mostly through ESPN. We find most people are signed up with ESPN. So we're going to have weekly pick'ems for NFL and college football. We're going to have a gridiron challenge, which is... for those who follow Daily Fantasy, it is a way for Australians, I guess, to partake in Daily Fantasy a little bit. So you pick each week, and once you've picked a player that week, you can't pick them for the rest of the season. So if you like Aaron Rodgers against the Chicago Bears in a certain week, you like that matchup. Once you pick Rodgers that week, you can't pick him again for the rest of the year. And then eliminate a challenge. So you've got to pick one team to win each week, and if you're left standing at the end of it, you win. I think we might have a few that are left standing because it's only 17 weeks.
Yep.
So it's not too hard to do.
No.
But, yeah, all of our competitions are free, and we'll have hopefully some tremendous prizes courtesy of our partners and sponsors. If not, we will supply our own.
So many competitions.
There's some really good, cheap NFL jerseys. So I hope you like Blaine Gabbert.
Our real American.
Yes, our true American. We're also joining forces with the Sydney NFL Supporters Group, probably the best online, Facebook groups for NFL fans in Australia. They're doing a $20 tipping competition. They haven't quite set that up yet, but if you are interested, you don't even have to live in Sydney. It's all done online, but let us know if you're interested. Email wootandwhite@gmail.com, and we'll pass that on to the crew at Sydney NFL Supporters. And they are also running an array of fantasy leagues in that group. So if you live in Sydney, join their Facebook group and get involved in some of their live drafts. If not, again, email us and we can get you into one of their leagues. If you want to play with Aussies, it's hard to play in random leagues where there's Americans, because you've got to be up at like 2 in the morning on a Thursday night to draft. So yep, it's a bit...
Yeah, it's difficult for everyone. This way it's easy. You're on the same time zone. Yeah. And when it comes to trades and things, you can real-time talk.
That's it. And it's good. You get to mix with similar fans in the Australian community, people that hopefully are listening to us. And if you have friends that you think would be interested in the NFL, tell them to swing on by and drop in and have a listen.
And you can also, you can relate to common things, and you can talk about Vegemite and everything.
Yes. Oh, Vegemite. Colleen Wolfe, she got our treats yesterday and shared them around to NFL Network. My favourite photo was a guy vigorously staring at Milo to figure out what the hell it was.
And I'm sure once he discovered the multi-goodness that was inside.
How good's Milo?
It's quite good.
Milo, then Nesquik, then Sustigen, then protein.
Sustigen.
Remember Sustigen? Give me Milo. Milo any day.
Ovaltine?
Oh. Remember the Ovaltine lollies that used to get the canteen?
Ovaltinis. Ovaltinis. They're still around.
Underratedly tough.
They were delicious, and then they stuck in your teeth for about 4 periods when you're in high school.
Yeah, and your teeth would feel like they've shattered. You'd feel dirty. You'd have to brush your teeth when you got home.
Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of... No, that's got nothing to do. I can't really segue that. But basically, we're running a league. It's going to be similar, Luca. When there's that many NFL podcasts, it's hard to come up with an original idea. But it's similar to the men's league. But we have a buddy, Nixon, who is in our main league. But is adamant in the Moneyball theory.
Well, he calls it the Moneyball theory, but it's essentially his own theory of how.
We don't know whether he's a genius or a complete...
Madman.
Moron.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards the former lately.
All right.
He's been on
to put in perspective, I think we've mentioned it before, he drafted 2 quarterbacks in the first 2 or 4 rounds 1 year. And he still made the playoffs.
I know.
We gave him 5,000-1 odds to even make the playoffs, and he...
He did it.
He did it. So, he made quite a significant push that year, and
We need to get him involved. So, it's going to be a 10-team league done on NFL.com, standard scoring. We want you guys to try and win us over. There's limited spots, but we love bold predictions here, and we're going to have Scott on we do it every year. Bold predictions with Scott for the season. So we want you guys to tweet us your bold predictions and just do a hashtag. What do we reckon? WW bold predictions. Root and Y bold predictions. That's a lot of characters there.
No, that's far too
much. We'll tweet
it
out. We'll tweet it out. We'll think about it.
Yeah.
It's no all hoy or everything, which is still the number one hashtag trending worldwide in Cleveland.
In Kearns area in by Kearns. You.
Yes. Don't give people where I live.
My bad.
That's spelled K-A... No.
Why? Why?
Yes. Cute. Yep. And our Top Better Pick the Lions podcast is a couple of weeks away. It'll start from, week one. But in the meantime, we'll be doing an over-under special podcast and some prop bets. So keep an eye out for that. We'll have multiple episodes in a couple of weeks.
Yep. By the way, the bold predictions, we don't want... Marvin Jones is going to be the leading rusher with 2,000 yards. We don't want stupid things. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we don't want the boldest, as in it's never going to happen. Yeah,
the best is not necessarily the boldest, but then don't bore us.
Yeah.
Don't bore us. Don't say Eli Manning will lead the league in
interceptions.
Yeah, or passing yards.
Yeah.
Because that's boring.
It is.
Eli's boring.
Eli's boring. Okay.
Don't do bold predictions with Eli.
Essentially, if you put Eli, you're not in the running.
Yes.
Unless he's the first quarterback to be
traded to the Bills. There you go. That's a good one.
Yes,
that's pretty dumb, though.
If it came off, you'd...
Yeah. All right. That's all the housekeeping done, correct? Yeah. All right. Yeah. Let's get into some news.
Josh, why? My hammies. They're feeling a little tight.
Are you an NFL player?
It feels like I must be. It really feels like I must be. It feels like everyone is hamstrung these days.
Everyone in the NFL right now. Literally every player has a hamstring injury. It's crazy.
If you don't have a hamstring injury...
You're not in the NFL?
Yeah, you pretty much...
Pack up your bags... And get out.
You're out of here.
Get out. But that's the news, basically. We're done.
We went through injuries. Nah. We saw the injuries. Everyone just had a hamstring injury.
We were looking through training camp reports day in, day out this week. And I think every article had the word hamstring in it.
Maybe it was just a, I'm not performing too well. I have a hamstring injury. So maybe that's
coach,
the go-to.
I'm hamstrung.
No, that's horrible.
All right, we'll move on to more pressing issues, and 49ers released Aldon Smith after he was arrested on DUI, hit-and-run, and vandalism charges Thursday night in Santa Clara County. Basically, I think Roto World put it bluntly, it is the off-season from hell for the 49ers. And I spoke to a radio station this morning about the 49ers, and I feel sorry for Tom Sula, because he seems like a nice guy. He's come up through the ranks from... You know, NFL Europe, he's just inherited chaos.
I know. And
chaos.
I kind of want to just slow clap for a second for Jim Harbaugh getting out at the completely right time. They were blaming him. You know, there was so much...
moonwalking out of there, just hands behind his back.
He's like...
just like...
Good luck with what you've got.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so now they've lost...
He's Alden's... just Kermit Frog drinking tea right now. Jim Harbaugh.
they've lost Aldon Smith, Chris Ballin, Justin Smith, Frank Gore, Coach Jim Harbaugh. Both coordinators and most of the coaching staff. Patrick Willis, Mike Iupati, Parrish Cox, and Chris Culliver. Michael Crabtree and Stevie Johnson. Dan Scooter, Anthony Davis.
That is so many Pro Bowls in there.
That's
crazy.
Most of your team. You think Philadelphia have done a revamp. It's pretty much 49ers have just had to start from the beginning again.
Yeah, that's it. It's that's astonishing. I think they only have two players left on their team from their Super Bowl run. It's Ahmad Brooks and I'm just trying to find the second
What a
name.
Fall from grace the 49ers are suffering right now.
But Aldon Smith, what an absolute moron.
I mean, it's upsetting if you're a fan, if, you know, just for everyone in general, he's such a talented player. He really needs help, it seems, because it's always the same issues. So, yeah, hopefully he can get that. Hopefully he can get his life straightened out. And
Ahmad Brooks and Navarro Bowman, the only two defenders left from their Super Bowl team. Not winning, but Super Bowl team that lost to the Ravens.
Yep.
How many days until the Redskins sign Aldon Smith? Should we set?
Can I just say that was my immediate thought this morning. I just thought, he's allowed to play, like if he's kind of cleared, Redskins, what are you doing? Go get him. Sorry, Washington.
Yeah. We also tweeted that, it's just crazy how quickly I've never seen a roster switch so quickly like this since probably Peyton Manning left Indy. They did a huge clean out and a turnout, but that was for obvious reasons. This is just retirement after retirement, injury, arrest. But it just quickly rolled over from a perennial 12-win team to now a team that I think will struggle to hit 5 wins. I honestly think they could have a top 3 pick in the draft. And I've been trying to be optimistic about the 49ers because, you know, months ago people were like, oh, Chris Borland's gone, it's doom and gloom. But now I'm just like, this is it. Without Alden Smith, there's no pass rush at all.
You know, if Hain changes his position, he might be able to find a...
Can he play linebacker?
A position on the defensive line, so, yeah.
There's a bold prediction. All right. We need all rookies in tackles.
Okay, anyway, moving on. Rams coach Jeff Fisher said Friday that first-round pick Todd Gurley is, quote, unlikely to play in preseason games due to his recovering ACL injury. Mm. So even when Gurley is 100%, Fisher promised he'll rotate with Trey Mason.
I don't believe a word Jeff Fisher says, and we speak to Rumford Johnny later in this podcast? Episode, and he agrees. Rumford Johnny basically called Jeff Fisher a liar.
Yeah.
So I think that's all we really need to say about that. But look, I think Mason's good enough to still have a significant role. I don't think that if Gurley does light up the world, I don't think they're just going to ignore Trey Mason. All right, we'll move on. Tyrod Taylor is reportedly the best quarterback on the field every single day. That's a quote. This from the from Joe Buscaglia at Bills camp. He said, while Matt Cassel has continued to struggle, EJ Manuel has run hot and cold, and Taylor has flashed big playability with his arms and legs. Buy or sell? Tyrod Taylor starting in week one.
Buy.
You're on it now. I want to get Colleen back on and just take you both to school. I said that weeks ago.
Well, you know.
Thank you.
You've got to side with Colleen.
Pardon?
You've got to side with Colleen.
Yeah, I'm going to get...
yeah.
I'm going to take that up to her and be like, hey, Colleen, what are you doing, buddy?
I buy in the fact that I think he has more of a chance. It's not definitely a done deal yet. Matt Cassel, you know, he's a... He's a game manager.
He's a bad game manager. He's like one of those stoner kids that works at the servo and just does a horrible job every night, week in, week out.
I don't know what a stoner looks like.
Okay. Moving on. The Titans website believes Bishop Sankey has been the most impressive running back in camp and shown better instincts than he did as a rookie. Well, you would hope a player would improve upon his rookie year and be better instinctively. But apparently he is just right on cue, Josh Hutton yawns.
Mate, it's the Titans.
While talking about the Titans.
The Titans, I'm not going to be drafting Bishop Sankey in any fantasy.
Apparently he's bulked up 6 or 7 pounds, man. So I don't know about you.
He's pretty much the Frank Gore of the Titans. Like, he's Frank Gore now. He's a huge big play running back.
Don't compare. That's bad. Anyway, so, yeah, you're not drafting Bishop Sankey. Are you confident David Cobb can overtake him?
Nope. I'm not confident. I feel that David Cobb is probably more talented. However, I'm just not touching anything. Anything to do with the Titans. No, thanks.
No, thanks. Not this year. Moving on. All right, ESPN's Ed Werder reports Michael Floyd underwent surgery because of his dislocated fingers broke the skin. So three of his fingers pretty much were completely... And, that's not fun at all.
That's disgusting.
Good thing, though, is they're still attached. What up, JPP? that's bad. Low blow. That is a very low blow. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I want to kick a man when he's down. Gives him 3 to 5 weeks to return. That sucks because he had to put up with Ryan Lindley for like 6 weeks last year, and now he's got Carson Palmer back. And he's probably going to be out till probably week four.
He's going to be watching John Brown.
Tear it up.
Tear it up. Touchdown after touchdown.
Touchdown John Brown. Get used to hearing that.
That's our new hashtag. Touchdown John Brown. It's not that creative.
That sounds like a really D-grade adult film.
I was going to say, yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Starring Johnny. No.
Nope. Stop. All right, moving on. This is kind of big news.
Is it?
Rams signed QB quarterback Nick Foles. Quarterback if you didn't know.
Sorry, are you yawn for the Titans or are you yawn for the Rams?
Oh, no, this is boring. It's just, this is the biggest news, news stories we've got.
Yeah.
Foles has yet to prove himself in Chip Kelly's system. Had yet to prove himself in Chip Kelly's system, but the Rams didn't want to risk letting him play out his contract year. So they signed into a contract extension worth $24.5 million per Schefter's sources.
Yes. So there you go. So, and there's a clause on there that they can release him early if he doesn't have a Pro Bowl or team performance, whatever. So that there's going to be some clauses. Or this is where I think teams use like quarterback ratings in contracts or Pro Football Focus ratings, because teams use Pro Football Focus. So it's like, Foles, if you don't have a plus such and such grade, like, you're done. Do you know what I mean? Like, how do you judge one's performance?
I do.
Because if you're Nick Foles, you're like, I need to just have a good QBR. Screen to Todd Gurley. Screen to Todd Gurley. Yeah. Screen to Todd Gurley.
I think it's also, it would go on percentage, like pass percentages. Just,
yeah, I guess that would help as well. But then game script also, like, if you're throwing deep behind by 17 every game, like, you're not, you're in tough situations. So, like, you're in a Jay Cutler-esque situation from last year. So it is tough to, Oh, by the way, Colleen's photo, one of her photos she posted up of our Aussie treats. Did you know there's a guy with a Jay Cutler shirt in the background? I thought that was fitting because me and you were the last, like, one or two Jay Cutler defender truthers in the world. I think we're the only two in Australia.
We're not saying he's going to take the league by storm, but we still think he's highly...
I just think he's...
Too highly criticised.
Absolutely. Yeah. So thrown under the bus, and then people are reversing.
I think most people are siding with Brandon Marshall, however. Brandon Marshall is not a fan of Jay Cutler at all.
Brandon Marshall is only a fan of Brandon Marshall.
Yep.
That's it. All right, we'll move on from Nick Foles. But basically, look, it's not a bad decision. As we said last week, the free agency, free agent quarterbacks out there, last year the best was Josh McCown. So if they don't lock up Nick Foles, and they you know, Rams always go 7-9, so they're never in a position to pick, you know, first overall since Sam Bradford. So unless they draft a quarterback or in a position to draft a quarterback, I think this just gives them at least a really expensive backup or their starter if he does pan out with Jeff Fisher.
Yep.
All right, the Houston Chronicle, this is the big news. Aaron Foster, we did talk to Rumford Johnny about the fantasy implications of that later on, but basically tore his groin completely off the bone. I don't understand muscles. I got none.
Well, the bone and the muscle are together.
Yeah.
And what Aaron Foster's done is separated those.
Oh, cool. Thanks, bro. Appreciate that. Thanks, Dr. Woot. We got Dr. Charles now, mate.
Yeah.
We do have Dr. Charles. Shout out to him.
I'll give him a run.
Give him a run. Foster will be out for probably 8 weeks. There's murmurs he'll be back earlier. We talk about run for Johnny with this, but let's just talk about the Texans' offense.
Try to say I have Aaron Foster in one of the NFL 10s, so that's
yeah,
great.
So do I. So,
this
is pretty much the Texans' offense.
You gotta be kidding me. I mean, how do you watch the? I mean, they stink.
It's a complete dumpster fire. Abort mission. We're going to get to our bold predictions episode in a couple of weeks, but for my Texans one, I'm leaning towards them possibly not finishing second in the division. I can see Jacksonville leaping there.
Bold prediction, they make the playoffs.
Silly.
Jokes!
Silly. You are silly. All right, Demaryius Thomas says there's more zip on Peyton Manning's passes this summer. Thomas qualified his statement with, I know you're not going to believe this. At the very least, Manning should have more zip on his passes than he did for the last season's stretch run, where his arm appeared to be falling off his shoulder. Do you believe Demaryius?
No.
No?
There's more zip. I mean, I feel like every season the wide receivers talk about their quarterbacks. They are throwing it.
This is the period.
So much harder than last year. It just seems all a bit...
The month of August, where Hakeem Nicks blames the system, Jerome Simpson's an absolute stud, and running back X has gained weight, or running back Y has lost weight and is looking really good.
And Bishop Sankey is the running back of the future.
So it's just hard to believe what's genuine and what's not. And we'll get to that with Jarrod Hayne.
I don't think Aaron Foster's later. Injured.
Pardon?
I don't think I...
that's just training camp, murmurs.
Smokescreen, he'll be there week one. He's going to tear it up.
All right. Seahawks and Australian, Jesse Williams, activated on to train. It is
amazing.
So amazing.
It's gone from Eric Berry, similar situation, now to Jesse Williams. It's amazing.
It's awesome. And it is like 2 months ago, he was in a hospital getting kidney removed for cancer treatment. and now he's back fighting for a roster spot.
Yeah.
It's so underrated. I know because Eric Berry's a bigger player and lymphoma is no...
laughing matter.
Yeah, exactly. But Jesse Williams needs to... the Seahawks did a lot of press on it, but the national press needs to jump on this. If he does get a roster spot and plays this year, he's come back from back-to-back knee injuries and cancer.
That's amazing.
Has there been a comeback rivaling that? I wish Jesse would unblock me on Twitter. Because I was a little bit harsh on him when... I just had a debate with a guy. Because I was like, how lucky is Jesse Williams? He got a ring without even playing.
Yeah.
And he goes... someone was like, oh yeah, but he works really hard and all that. I said, that's fine, but it's pretty lucky.
Yeah.
And then he blocked me. Oh well.
I don't know, man. People get hurt.
Yeah. We support Jesse and we're
big believers. We
tweeted this. We are Monster Strong. I watched his presser and read all the stuff on the Seahawks website. He's a definition of toughness, man. He works so hard, trains so hard.
He's Australian.
That's right.
He's Australian.
He is. All right, moving on.
Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman's hamstring injuries.
Hamstring?
What? Are expected to sideline them for a, quote, minimum of 2 weeks. Beat writer Vaughn McClure believes both are dealing with grade A hamstring strains. Whatever grade.
Grade 1.
Grade 1. Grade A. Did I start up? Grade 1, which I don't know what. Is that...
It's after kindergarten and before second class.
That mean it's completely off the bone?
No.
Coleman also underwent off-season surgery to repair a fractured foot before running a 4.39 at his pre-draft pro day. With Coleman and Freeman on the shelf, Jerome Smith, Terran Ward, and Michael Ford.
So Smith, Ward, and Ford.
Good luck with that.
Good luck with your legal advice. It's Smith, Ward, and Ford.
We'll have to handle the running back reps.
Yeah, it's bad for... Oh, I feel so sorry for Matt Ryan. He's playing behind Swiss cheese O-line. Now his running game is going to miss 2 weeks at camp. It's not huge, but it's... Especially when you've got a rookie and a second-year player missing vital reps and getting in sync with your quarterback in the blocking assignments. It is... It's a bit of a low blow.
Oh, man, I feel sorry for Matty Ice.
By the way, Vaughn McClure sounds like a Simpsons character, although he is one of the best beat writers for the Falcons. He's great.
I was thinking the exact same thing when I was reading
that. I'm Troy McClure.
Hi.
I'm Vaughn McClure. You may remember me from such training camps as 2014 Hard Knocks training camp with the Atlanta Falcons. All right, we'll move on to...
God, your jokes are bad, Jeff.
I'm in fine form. It's vintage form at 25.
Yep. It's you've got a day off, all right?
I have plenty of dad jokes on hand, despite not being a father.
Okay.
DeSean Jackson has been diagnosed with a sprained AC joint and will be sidelined for 1 to 2 weeks after he... Explain what happened.
Jason La Canfora. I always get tripped up with his
name. I don't like him, though.
No.
But you watched the video, didn't you?
Yep.
So,
He ran into the tackling sled, so the it's hard to explain, but for those that know, it's, the big...
Yeah.
Yeah. It's what they train with, they push around, it's got padding on it, and, The quote from Jason LaCanfora describes Jackson's injury as a slightly separated, badly bruised shoulder. So it's not as if it's...
Serious.
It's, detached. However, DeSean Jackson already was kind of on that borderline with me. I'm like, it's going to be a gut feeling on draft day for fantasy when it comes to me.
He's always been that type of player, though.
I just feel like last season I felt, damn it, I should have kind of went with him.
Yeah.
This year, I'm just not going to touch it.
Best ball formats, I'm all for.
Yeah.
Because you get those up weeks without the down weeks, because you're going to get those. Same with, the Mike Wallaces of the world.
Especially playing in the Washington
offense. Yeah, because you're going to be behind in games. All right, we'll move on to some Australian news, and we'll start with...
Let me tell you something, people. Punters are people, too.
Brad Wing and Jordan Berry battling it out. Brad Wing has been unfortunately winning the early mail. We say unfortunately because we really like Jordan Berry. But look, we're happy to have, you know, support both those players, but we're Team Berry just for now. Has had the early mail. But look, there's still 5 preseason games for the Steelers for Berry to impress. And he had a monster punt the other day, 4.37 hang time. So that was the clubhouse leader at training camp for the Steelers.
Nice.
But we'll move on to Jarryd Hayne. And
a lot of buzz this week.
Well, that's what I was saying before about you don't believe Demaryius because he's just talking up players. How much weight do we put into people glowing about Jarryd Hayne in August?
We were speaking about this yesterday over lunch.
Yes, actually. We had a business lunch.
We had a little lunch.
That was great.
Yeah, no, we were saying, do we think this is just the 49ers putting out, highlight, like the bare minimum of highlight reels?
Yep.
To just try to bring in the Australian audience and get clicks.
Yeah, they remind me of teaser trailers.
Yes, exactly. And then there's not really any more information on him. So, no. I mean, part of us thinks, you know, he was still catching a pass from Kaepernick. It wasn't like it was Blaine Gabbert.
No.
So,
yeah.
That's something to be slightly optimistic about. I mean, it is still the 49ers website. It's not just a random blogger or anything like that. So, I mean, there are positives to take from it, though, but I'm still, like, there hasn't been a preseason game yet.
Yeah, and look, I spoke on ABC this morning about it. For me, the biggest part was hearing Geep Christ talk about how impressed he was with Haynes' blitz pickups.
Yeah.
He dominated Moody on a one-on-one. Philip Wheeler got the best of him in the second one, just tossed him aside. And then in a blitz pickup, he handled well. So that was just the one-on-one contact drills. And then in an actual game situation, picked up one blitz one, and then another one, he got absolutely thrown to the ground by a big nose tackle. But that's good that he's hitting those blocks. Like, I really like that.
Guys, a nose tackle. This is probably like, 3 times his weight.
That's like a 330-pound dude. But, like, still, he needs to get... He's still running too upright for me. From the videos that I saw, I think he'll get lit up in training camp or preseason by someone running that upright. But he'll learn to adjust from that. And that's what the special teams coordinator said. He wants to see how Hayne gets up after he gets absolutely rattled. Because although he's getting hit here, it's not the same as an in-game.
He's going to be hit from every single angle in a preseason game. Yep. So
yeah. Oh, we can't wait. Look, we're skeptical about him making the roster. That doesn't mean we don't
this
support
him. This is probably the most exciting thing about preseason at the moment.
Yeah, is watching Hayne.
Because it's going to... Usually, you get to see your quarterback, your starters for maybe, you know, a handful of snaps.
Yeah.
And then the second string, third string, fourth string.
So Hayne might play a quarter and a half.
We might be able to see a bit of Hayne.
And many... That's the time for him to impress.
Yeah, and we're not sure where. Yeah. We're not sure if he's going to get a couple of snaps of running back and just take the punt return duties. It's going
to
be...
I want to see him as a gunner, because if he can make special teams as a returner, he needs to contribute elsewhere. And if he can as a gunner, he can get a spot. But if he can't do anything else other than kick return, that's a waste of a roster spot. I can't, especially with Ellington and Reggie Bush there.
Yep.
I just can't see it happening.
No, it's going to be exciting to watch, though.
Yeah. All right, so that is the news. On to our guest, we have Rumford Johnny. All right, joining us on the line is Rumford Johnny. He's one half of the Rummy and Ray podcast. Listen to it and download. He is an inconsistent, his words not ours, contributor to Bro Jackson, and you can follow him on Twitter at Rumford Johnny. Welcome, Johnny.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's great to talk to you guys. I've been following you guys on Twitter and really appreciate all of our listeners, especially, you know, listeners from other countries who are really as geeked about fantasy football as we are, so... Fellow degenerates are always welcome.
I like that. I like that. We're going to call this episode Redrafting with Rummy because most of our listeners here in Australia play redraft leagues. Australia's just catching on to MFL 10s. We've managed to run a couple of leagues through our podcast, which is good. And we were involved in one of the Team Hennepod MFL 10s, which was really good as well. But with redraft, we know you're a big advocate of PPR leagues. Why do you prefer a PPR league over a standard league?
Well, I think because mainly for the running back position, essentially, because I think the way the NFL is working now, there's not as many featured backs, you know, workhorse backs, which basically is, for your listeners, running backs who get, you know, 20 or more touches and are essentially a big part of the offense. There's more teams now that employ sort of an early down back, a third down back who catches passes out of the backfield. It's usually a platoon. I mean, a lot of teams are kind of catching on to keep, you know, running backs fresh till the end of the season. They're employing, you know, multiple running backs. And if you're in a standard league, you know, you really, there's such a really a premium on running backs that are going to be the lead guys or feature part of the offense, somebody like Marshawn Lynch, you know, where they don't throw as much and that, you know, they do run the football a lot. Those guys really have more of a premium, and it sort of liquidates the rest of the, you know, the base or pool of running backs. So you get into a PPR league, you can get some guys like Roy Helu, Danny Woodhead, you know, third down running backs, Shane Vereen, that have, you know, an actual role in the offense where they're going to catch passes, you know, which count for points, which sort of helps even out the field a little bit. It doesn't really put such a premium on running back where you feel like you have to pick a running back early. I'd rather be in a league where you feel like you don't have to do that. You can just take the best player and then worry about everything else afterwards. I mean, I think personally that's what I prefer.
Yeah, no, it's making me feel like we should convert. That was a very good...
we are changing our league though, to half-point PPR.
You can go half, or you can even go .75 if you want. I mean, if you really want to get crazy, eh? You know, but I think, you know, it does help, you know, and it does make it competitive for everybody. And I will say this too, guys, I don't like snake drafts, which, you know, you guys know is a draft where, you know, the 12th person in a 12 person league picks back to back and then it goes backwards and forwards. That's a snake draft, basically. I prefer auctions. Now, this is something that is probably still new to your listeners. Maybe they haven't done a lot of them, and maybe you guys haven't either, but I find them really fun. And I think that, you know, they take a little bit longer. They're pretty labor intensive. But they're exciting, and I think there are different options for that now. You don't have to just be in a regular redraft auction. I just did one recently that's a dynasty league where we did an auction, and then it's going to be a best ball league, almost like the MFL 10s, where we drafted everybody, but we drafted extra players to circumnavigate the issues with, you know, best ball, where you have to have, you know, your best players or your best scorers that week, you know, be the ones that are picked each week. And you don't have to worry about setting your lineup. I think that kind of makes the whole process of the draft really the fun part. You know, doing the auction, talking smack with your buddies in the chat room, and, you know, drinking your beer and stuff, and then picking your players, and then not worrying about your lineup after. But you still spent a good 4 hours, the most fun part, in my opinion, the draft with your buddies, with your friends, and with your mates, and that's the fun part. And you can still, at the end of the year, you're still going to make your money, and you can still get into other things like daily fantasy, which I'm really big into right now, and stuff like that, and just kind of, you know, not worry so much about having to navigate setting lineups for 10 different leagues, because while redraft is great, you know, like you guys said, you guys got into the MFL 10s, there are other things out there that can kind of really whet your appetite for fantasy football, and those types of best ball leagues are also really good. But auctions, for me, guys, it takes away the element of, you know, your draft status, where you're picking, you know, which slot you're picking. Because nobody really wants to pick first this year, you know, because it's sort of a stigma, like, who's the number one? Is it Bell? Is it, you know, some people arguing it's Adrian Peterson, some Jamal Charles. Nobody really wants it. They'd rather pick it from the middle. Or even more, you know, for me, what I prefer if you're picking in a snake draft is picking late, where you can pick back to back. But and what that does, though, unfortunately, it does sort of make especially with the injuries we've seen with Darian Foster and some other players, it does kind of make it a little bit unfair. It sort of, depending on what you're picking, really does help you out initially. Yeah. Now, where an auction comes into play is that everybody's on the same page. All you're doing is nominating. It's more of a strategy thing. You're just nominating a player. Now, in an auction league, you know, it doesn't matter where you're picking, because if you're picking 12th, you're going to nominate whoever you want to nominate. Now, maybe you want to nominate someone that you don't want, and you want people to go crazy bidding early on that player, and you want somebody to spend way too much, and then you want to maybe get a running back that you feel is a value, a little bit later, and you're able to get them because this other crazy person spent all their money on three picks, early in the draft, and outbid everybody, and now you're sitting back with your money and like, okay, now I'm going to pick this guy. I got Marshawn Lynch for $30 less than Le'Veon Bell, and now I've got, C.J. Anderson for $20 less than Jamal Charles, and, stuff like that, and you can build a really strong team, and it's exciting. I think it's just much more fun. I mean, the whole bidding process, and the people in the chat room go nuts, especially when people are back and forth with bidding, like a dollar up on somebody. It's really kind of, it's silly. It's like an auction. It's like somebody putting their paddle up and trying to bid on a Van Gogh or something. Yeah. It's like, oh my God, these two crazy people. It's like, that's the whole fun of an auction. For me, it's something I think, your listeners really should check out. They've got them on Yahoo and all, ESPN and all kinds of other sites. Yeah. As well, my fantasy league has them now too,
which is great.
And they're fantastic, and I love them. I prefer them over anything else. I know not everybody likes it. Not everybody likes that grind of sitting down for that many hours. But I think that's the whole fun of the fantasy. Part of the fantasy season is the actual draft itself. And I think that if you draft really well, you can get into an auction best ball situation where you just pick your whole team, you set it, you forget it. And then at the end of the season, boom, you find out if you won or not. And that's just, really, really cool. You don't have to structure it like an NFL 10 where, winner take all and the second place gets another buy-in. Yeah. You can totally structure it like your regular redraft league where, maybe number one gets, 75% of it. And then, number two or whatever, 70%, and the next gets 25 and third place gets 5, whatever, however you want to break it down. And it's still a lot of fun that way, and you don't have to worry about setting your lineup. And I find those are really fun because there's really the luck part of it that really comes into play. I mean, if you drafted really well and wisely, then you probably are going to hedge your bets on injuries and stuff like that. But it can get really, really interesting. I was in one draft recently with our buddy, and I'm sure you guys know him too, J.J. Zacharyson, late-round quarterback.
Yep, yep.
And he was in one recently with us for our friends over at Apex Fantasy Football. Apex Leagues are great, by the way, another great option for your listeners that could check out. So check them out at Apex FF, I believe. Mm-hmm. He was in that league in minutes before the Arian Foster news. He had just picked Arian Foster. Literally. And he's just beside himself. He's like, you got to be kidding me. And then immediately after that, you put him up for like bid for trade. He's like, anybody want to trade him? He's like, no, I don't think so.
No.
But hoping that somebody would bite that wasn't paying attention to the news, I guess. But I think that's a lot of fun,
Speaking of late round quarterback, a popular redraft strategy is, waiting on quarterback, taking quarterback in the late round. Is there a particular quarterback you're targeting late in drafts that you think have tremendous value at their current ADP?
I think, I'm of two different schools of thought, guys. I think if you're in a redraft league and it's a season-long wrangling league, or if it's even a dynasty league where you, keep a player for several years, I'm probably going to be looking at Andrew Luck. I still want him early in drafts, and you have to pay a premium because I feel right now that he is going to have one of those Peyton Manning type years, like, or the Tom Brady 2007 type year, where he could potentially throw for 48 touchdowns, maybe 50. I don't think that's insane to really think that with all the weapons that he has, that they're going to be just a crazy throwing football team because their defense stinks. Okay, they're not very good.
Don't have to tell me. I'm a Colts fan.
it is what it is.
It is.
I mean, they do have, they do have, Vontae Davis, who's a very good corner. But I think for the most part, you can kind of pick apart this this defense and take your shots. And they're going to have... They're going to be in some shootouts where there are high scores, and I think that's going to be situation where they're going to certainly throw a lot. And I think there's an opportunity, just with his progression, with the weapons added in an offense, that they're going to throw a lot. So if I can get him now in a redraft with, you know, in-season management, then I definitely want to get him. In a best ball league, I'm punting the quarterback position, as we like to say, where you don't worry about it early. You wait, late. So to answer your question in a long-winded way, I love Ben Roethlisberger. I think offenses that are going to be particularly, you know, prolific and not necessarily, you know, in the case of Roethlisberger too, another defense that's really kind of diminished a little bit, a lot of retirements. There are some guys, some older players that just kind of fell off, and, you know, they're not going to be very good on defense this year. But their offense is going to be excellent. I think they're going to be very, very, you know, high-octane offense, and they're going to throw a lot as well. Even with Bell back, I think they're still going to throw a lot. And their defense is going to dictate that they're going to have to throw a lot. So I do like, you know, Ben Roethlisberger. Same goes for the Cowboys. I like Tony Romo as well because I don't think that running game is going to be very good. I think that Jerry Jones is really, his mindset, you know, is that, well, what he did with Emmitt Smith, you know, how many years ago, where he let him go, he thought he was going to be able to replicate that same kind of running attack with his offensive line, which was great, but also a lot of his guys got, you know, were gone at that point, and it wasn't the same. Anybody that came along after that just never really, you know, a lot of also rans that were, you know, shades of Emmitt at that point. And I think the same, you could say the same of DeMarco Murray. Now, he's kind of banking on Joseph Randall and this ragtag group of injured players to sort of replicate, you know, what Murray did. And I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're going to struggle a little bit with that. They're going to find out that these running backs aren't as good and that they're going to have to throw the football. Their defense is a little better. They did beef up, you know, they added some really good players in the draft and, they did some stuff. And they do have some good guys in their defensive line, but they have had some injuries at linebacker and other spots where I still think they're going to be a team that you could, you know, run the score up on a little bit. And I think they're going to be in some shootouts as well. And I love Romo. I think he's going to, you know, just be his usual self, maybe even kind of expand on that a little bit. So that really bodes well for Dez Bryant too, because I think if Romo has a more prolific passing year, then it has to go to somebody. You know, it's usually to the number one first, and it trickles down from there. So for me, Dez, I think, is somebody that's going to be, you know, one of the top wide receivers this year, if not the number one wide receiver. So I like those two guys. You know, you can tandem, you know, if you're doing, you know, two quarterbacks to sort of cover your bye weeks. You know, I do like some of the younger guys. I do like Teddy Bridgewater. I like the fact that he has Adrian Peterson. I don't think Adrian Peterson just dictates that they're not going to throw it all. I think they added weapons, and I think having Peterson in the mix opens things up for Teddy Bridgewater where he can actually take shots now downfield. And I think that bodes well for him, so I do like him. And he's falling a little bit in ADP again. Even, you know, a young guy like Jameis Winston, I love that offense. I think it's set up really, really well for him to have a big year. I think people are kind of down on him because they're down on rookies in general at quarterback, and I think that's unfortunate, but I think that he certainly could have a very, very big year. I know people think, well, he'd have to have a historic year to have a big year based on what other quarterbacks do. And if you're not really paying attention to what he did, last year wasn't a great year because he lost all his weapons. He lost a lot of his offensive line. You know, that they a lot of those guys declared, and Jameis stayed behind, and he had nobody to throw to. His running back situation wasn't as good. He had some young guys. The offensive line wasn't as good. So he fell off a little bit.
Yeah.
But the previous year, he was an absolute monster. I mean, he did incredible things, and you still saw him do those things last year. It just wasn't as efficient because, again, that whole scenario with everybody leaving and sort of decimating the O-line and running backs and everything, all those components in offense kind of made for a tougher hill for him to climb, and, you know, that didn't hurt his draft stock, obviously, because they'd still draft him number one. And he goes into a situation with Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans, Austin Seferian Jenkins, Doug Martin. He's got a good set. Kenny Bell, who I liked a lot, too, as a slot receiver. They've got some good weapons, some good young weapons that could really tear up the league. So I like him if you pair him, a young upside guy like him, with a really solid, you know, guy like Roethlisberger, Romo, even Brady. Because I honestly think Brady, guys, to be honest with you, I think this is going to get thrown out at some point. I don't know when, but I think Brady's probably not going to miss a game.
Hmm.
And if you get him, very, very cheap as your second quarterback, he's going to tear it up. I mean, I don't want to face an upset Tom Brady in any matchup after he comes back, because he's just going to want to prove to this league, like, oh yeah, you think I cheat and I do this and that. Well, that's just the way the Patriots go at things. I mean, it sounds kind of dirty or whatever, but you know what? Hey, there's no sportsmanship when you think we're cheating. Yeah. We're just going to say, okay, now we're going to rub it in your face. And that's what they're going to do when he's back. So, and he's got all the weapons back. I mean, he's got everybody healthy. So, you know, I think that he's a great second, you know, quarterback, especially with his, you know, sort of that ambiguity of whether or not he's going to play right away. I think he's going to be fine. And if you get him as your second quarterback, you're going to be really, really, you're going to be able to pick your matchups week to week. It's going to be fantastic. Absolutely. So.
Another thing that we've noticed with redraft mocks and doing our MFL 10 leagues through the podcast is that when people are presented with the decision to go either rookie or the veteran, they are most likely picking the rookie. So who, is there a particular rookie that you're targeting?
Any specific position or just in general?
Or just in general. Is there a rookie that you specifically are targeting? And then obviously if people are jumping the guns and taking overdrafting rookies, there's going to be some veterans that are sliding to later rounds.
Yeah,
that...
yeah. You know, it's difficult to say because I think that, you know, we don't know a lot just yet. I always say, honestly, like I back off on rookies in redraft. Obviously in Dynasty, it's a totally different thing.
Yeah.
But in redraft, I'm sort of I step back a little bit, and I prefer to get the value rookie players that sort of falling a little bit that maybe will have value later on. With all the information that we're getting right now, with Kevin White sort of behind the eight ball with a shin injury, and you know we're hearing stuff about Jay Ajayi, he's not practicing and he's not doing well and this and that, or he's is not picking up the offense, and there's so many different things that sort of, you know, make for a scenario where you're not tempted to draft any of these guys, and it helps their ADP. They're going to keep falling because people are going to be afraid to pick them up. But I do like guys like Ahmir Abdullah. I love Todd Gurley. I think I don't believe a word that Jeff Fisher says about taking it easy with Todd Gurley, because if he looks good, you know, I look at their schedule, guys. It may seem daunting, but keep this in mind. The 49ers are going to be terrible this year, okay?
Absolutely.
That's one of the tougher, normally one of the tougher matchups that they have to face. Now, twice a year, they're going to face a defensive line. Now, it's probably not going to have Alden Smith. You know, they lost Patrick Willis. You know, they lost a bunch of their linebackers. They're not going to be very good. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to be a lot easier to run on. So he's going to face them twice a year. Their situation's a little bit different. Too in Arizona as well, and you know, Seattle's going to be a tough out, but you look at the rest of the schedule for the Rams, it's not all that daunting. There's some really good cherry picked matchups. Now, granted, I'd rather have a rookie in a best ball situation where you can sort of negate the ups and downs, because rookies will have ups and downs. They're going to have those big weeks, and they're going to have the ghost weeks where they just they're overwhelmed by the matchup, and they're just not going to provide you with any points. So I prefer them in best ball over anything. I'd advise any of your listeners, if you're going to draft rookies, probably get them in best ball leagues, because, you know, again, you don't have to worry about the ups and downs. And maybe if you get them a little bit later, it's an even better value. But for the reality is that some of those players, you know, I think Amari Cooper is going to be just fine. I think Kevin White will be fine too. I think people are freaking out a little too soon with him, and his ADP is going to fall, so I'll still draft him. But I'd rather have those guys as my wide receiver, you know, 4 or 5, to be honest. You know, I don't really want to bet on a rookie in this class, because I think it's a good class, but it's a developmental class. You know, last year was an anomaly. We don't see that all that often, and I think those guys really were freaks. You know, we just saw some really amazing football players. Big, you know, prototypes, the Mike Evans of the world. I mean, those guys just they just don't come around all that often. The old Outbackums, I mean, they're just freaks. And the class that we had this year, while there's some good players, they're not the same at all. And I think they're guys that just need to come along slowly and develop into good NFL players. And they will. I'm just not buying them a lot in drafts unless I'm getting them cheaply. And right now, to be honest, guys, you're getting them rather cheaply. I will say this. I'd rather have Todd Gurley over Melvin Gordon. I don't care that, you know, they're going to take their time with Gurley. I think Melvin Gordon is probably going to lose reps. I think that offense runs through several running backs. I think that we're going to see Danny Woodhead in on passing downs. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw Donald Brown out there, too, to be honest with you. I think it's set up to be a multiple-back system. And as much as I like Melvin Gordon, I don't think that he's going to have this huge role this year. So if you're overdrafting him, he's somebody that I'm specifically, as far as rookies are concerned, I'm kind of staying away from. And in dynasty leagues, I haven't really invested much in him because I don't see him right now as a lead-back type. I think, you know, somebody like Gurley is much more equipped to be that guy. And they're, you know, the rest of the running backs in this class are, you know, it's sort of suspect whether or not they're going to be lead guys. They look like they could be. There's some guys that are, you know, built like they could be, but I don't know. And for me, it's almost like I want to get those guys much, much later in my draft in the hopes that they basically develop a specific role in the offense or they beat out a particularly, you know, unimpressive veteran and they're able to sort of steal their job. And that's kind of what you hope for. But betting on them to be, you know, your running back two or whatever, sometimes that can be risky. And I just did that in a redraft league. So, and I picked Todd Gurley as my running back two because I was, as I talked about earlier, I had the opportunity to grab CJ Anderson. And then on the turn, I was picking 12th out of a 12-team league. Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to grab Andrew Luck. And I just said, you know what? First time I've picked them all off season, essentially, in any draft that I've had. And I picked them. I said, you know what? I'm just going to go for the points because this wasn't a best ball league. It was a league where it's an apex league where there's trades, you know, there's in season management, stuff like that. And so I said, you know what? I'm just going to go after the guy that I think is going to score a ton of points. And I'm going to grab him early. And I did. And then I changed the way I drafted. So end up getting Gurley as my running back two and end up picking up Helu, who I think is going to be, you know, very active in the passing game and could be a lead guy as well in Oakland. So that's what you have to kind of do. When you do that, you make that sort of move, you have to sort of navigate into looking at a lot of second, third, fourth running backs that are going to be heavily involved in a role in the passing game so that, at least in the PPR league, that you're, you know, making up some of that ground, you know, because I'm betting on scoring points elsewhere at wide receiver, at quarterback, at tight end. Actually, at tight end, I give you another example, too. A few rounds later, I had an opportunity to get Jimmy Graham and Travis Kelce back-to-back. Mm. So I did, and I took him. I said, you know what? And then everybody was like, that was bold, man. I'm like, you know, you have to sometimes do that, you know, in a redraft league. You have to really go after the best players and then worry about, you know, moving later on. If you're, you know, you're going to make trades, you're going to be able to make some movement in your league, make things happen. But get the best players because I want to collect the most value. When I say value and then people say value-based drafting, it's two different things. So let's not mistake the two. Value-based draftings are based on old values from previous years, which is garbage. I'm talking about value from my mindset on how they project for this year, okay?
Yeah.
So when I say value, I mean value to me, what they're going to do, what they're going to accomplish in my mind this season. So if I get a Jimmy Graham and a Travis Kelce, it's because I didn't want to take a wide receiver that I thought was a wide receiver three or whatever, you know, late wide receiver two, because I think these two guys can be the wide receiver, quote unquote, ones on their own team, even though they're tight ends. You understand?
Why chase
wide receivers just to fill out your wide receiver spot? Like, I'm not going to chase a wide receiver that I think isn't going to be, you know, isn't going to elevate to that level. Like, both of those guys are going to score a ton of touchdowns, in my opinion. Not everybody agrees with that. No. But I do think that they will, and I think they're both going to have good seasons. I'd rather have them, knowing that they're the number ones in targets, in my opinion, over somebody, again, that I think is not going to command those type of targets. And that's what we're talking about. Targets equal potential production.
Yep.
Your targets plus efficiency. And that's what you're really looking for. You're looking at the potential for the most scores. And that's what fantasy football is about. It's not about, you know, people feeding you name recognition and this and that. I mean, you really have to do your homework and really think about projections for that year and go after that. I mean, that's how you win. I mean, you can't be safe and say, well, I'm going to get a third wide receiver because there's a run on wide receiver, so I'm going to get a wide receiver. You know, I mean, don't be that person. It's just such a weak-minded thing, and you're going to regret it. I'm telling you, it's like you're watching your friend, you're one of your mates, and you're out to eat, and you're watching you get this messy, nasty, like fried thing, and you're like, oh, it looks so good. But no, I'm going to have the safe, you know, whatever. And then you start eating, and you're like, I should have got the messy, nasty thing. That's so satisfying. And that's how you have to, because it's fantasy football. It's like, you're not a real GM. You're not going to get fired. You're not going to lose you're not going to miss out on this. It's just fantasy football. You have to really go for broke. You have to give everything that you have and really kind of, you know, shoot for the moon. And that's the most fun of fantasy football for me. I mean, otherwise, I mean, if you're playing it like, you know, to be safe all the time, then why are you doing it?
No, why
are you playing fantasy football?
That's right. And you mentioned going for broke, and I'll change the scenario. Speaking of broke, the Texans running back situation right now is very broke. Broken and broke in terms of value. Now without Arian Foster, Alfred Blue is the guy. Chris Polk's there. They did bring in Pierre Thomas, but they didn't sign him. We're not huge Alfred Blue fans, but what would you foresee for the Texans running back situation early on in the year before Foster returns? I think they mentioned week 8 may be the possibility for him.
I still think that they're going to bring in somebody else.
Yep.
I keep hearing that they feel fine with what they have. I can't imagine Bill O'Brien feels fine with what they have.
Okay,
I mean, that seems absolutely like insane coach speak, because they're going to be terrible. They don't have a good quarterback situation.
Yeah, you know, it's a dumpster fire.
DeAndre Hopkins is going to be doubled now all the time. You know, they're going to have a high safety on him all the time, and they're going to try to keep him in check. So he's going to have all of the attention in the offense.
Yeah.
And without a running game to sort of really kind of make the defense sort of respect, you know, Arian Foster in space, then it's going to make DeAndre Hopkins' job miserable. So I'm staying away essentially from that whole offense right now, because I think it's really, really shaky. I mean, they don't have a quarterback to prop up this team. The tight ends are just okay. And, you know, it's just a bad situation. I mean, I think this is a team that's probably could shock some people, especially if the injury, because listen, I hear people saying it's potentially 3-week injury. And his groin was torn away from his body.
That's not 3
okay?
weeks.
I mean, think about it. I mean, so 3 weeks. I tore my groin completely off. But yeah, I'll be back in 3 weeks. I'll be running, you know, wind sprints. I'll be good. I just can't imagine that he'll be effective in any way. I mean, he's a very dynamic running back. He's a glider. You know, he's a guy that takes big cuts. You know, and you know, that one cut and then can take off, and he's a gliding running back. You know, he's not this short little choppy step running back. He's somebody that kind of needs those big
muscles.
Yeah, he needs his groin, man. but he certainly, I don't think the 3 months, that's very, very generous. I think he's probably more likely, and I'm not a doctor, but he's probably more likely somewhere in that, you know, 6 to 8 weeks or whatever. More likely on a shorter scale, because he's not going to be effective. Now, keep in mind, guys who've had similar injuries to this were just never the same.
Hmm.
And he's a running back. I mean, his whole job is to to make cuts and make people miss and change direction and spin. I mean, it's just that's where he's not running in a straight line. That's not what Arian Foster does. He's not that type of down. He's not a downhill running back. And so to take that away from him, he's not going to be all that effective. So it affects everybody else. So I'm kind of punting this whole offense, to be honest with you guys. I mean, unless we see something dramatic where Bill O'Brien gets some bad news and they just say, okay, we're going to make a play for somebody and trade for a running back and just whatever, you know, somebody that maybe is, you know, due some money or had their you know, contract, you know, reconfigured and they want to, you know, go after a you know, a veteran running back that they feel really comfortable just pushing in there, and then maybe they cut ties with Foster because of all the injuries. I don't know. That's a possibility, but it's a remote one because we're talking about Bill O'Brien from the Belichick coaching tree, where he thinks, you know, he could make, you know, lemonade out of lemons, and I don't know that that's the case right here. So I'm kind of staying away, guys. I mean, you'll hear people say Grimes or Alfred Blue, and they might put up some like okay numbers. They're not going to be like weak winning numbers at all.
No.
You know, you're not going to get these guys to like prop you up and win your league for you that week at all. I mean, this whole offense is going to be probably leading the league in field goals, to be honest.
If they're lucky, because that's the range.
Luck. I mean, yeah. So draft their kicker if you're in the kicker league, for crying out loud. Because he's probably going to kick three a game because they're not going to score a lot. But that's it for me. I mean, I'm kind of staying away. And I didn't really like this offense to begin with. I just like Foster because, like, you know, Foster and guys like him, you know, previously like Jamal Charles, where you're the centerpiece, or even Marshawn Lynch, where you're really, you are the focal point. You're the lifeblood of the offense. You want a piece of that pie because it's a huge piece. You know, it's the big piece of chicken, man, you know? So you definitely want that. And I think that
food making me hungry.
I'm talking about a lot of food right now, but anyway, yeah.
It's like you need
talking
to get
about the sloppy. I know, I'm totally hungry. Sloppy food. I'm talking about chicken and pie. Oh my goodness, we're all starving here, guys.
Yes.
But yeah, I do think that's an offense that I'd rather let somebody else, you know, chase those points because I don't think that there's much there.
Yeah.
From one shoddy backfield to another, the Giants' backfield at the moment's a little bit of a shambles with Rashad Jennings, Shane Vereen, Andre Williams. What running back at their current ADP do you like out of those three?
Well, there's a lot of rumblings going on right now, and I hope that it continues because you people saying, well, you know, Rashad Jennings is running with a second team, and Vereen and Andre Williams are running with a first team. First of all, we're talking about Tom Coughlin, okay? Who is very, very much like Bill Belichick, who doesn't see anybody outside of a handful of players, okay, like the quarterback and you know, whatever. He sees everybody as rotational. And in terms of reps, he's going to give everybody equal reps. So you're going to say, well, tomorrow we'll say, well, Odell Beckham wasn't out with the first team at practice. He was with the second team. Oh yeah, they're definitely going to sit Odell Beckham week one. He's not going to
start James.
He's not going to play. He's going to be a backup. Yeah, for sure. Think about it. I mean, it's just absurdity. But people react to that, guys.
Yeah,
people react to that. I mean, I'd say in your leagues, if people are reacting to that, take advantage because I think Rashad Jennings' value is just he's going to drop. His ADP is going to drop, and his value just increases in my eyes because. I'll say this again, as a Patriots fan, you know, and I live in Rhode Island and lived in Massachusetts prior to that, so I've been a Patriots fan my whole life. I watch Shane Vereen, and I like him as a talent, but he's Kevin Falk, you know. Kevin Falk, absolutely. Before him, he was a specialist. He was a pass-catching running back, more of a wide receiver extension of the offense than the actual early down featured back who's going to get 20-plus carries. He's big enough to do it. He's just never been that guy, and he's never shown that he can be that guy when he's had that opportunity when other guys have been injured. So I don't see that happening. Now, Andre Williams, conversely, big guy, could be that guy. Problem is with Andre Williams, I mean, he literally has stone hands. I mean, he's learning to catch the football, so he's not a threat to steal the passing down work.
No.
So my eyes...
frying pan hands.
Yeah, exactly. In my eyes, someone like Jennings, who can catch the football, who can block, who can pick up a blitz, who can be the early down back. Now, he might forego some of the goal line stuff to Andre Williams, possibly. But for the most part, where he's falling, value-wise, he's going to get a bulk of the work still. So, and I think he's the most desirable. So I let other people argue and fight over Vereen Williams because they think some opportunity is going to come. Because I'm guaranteeing you guys right now, there's going to be the preseason game where Andre Williams rushes for 3 goal line touchdowns and everybody's going to lose their mind. And they're going to all draft him early, and Rashad Jennings is going to fall even further, and you're going to want to get a piece of that pie. As long as he's healthy, you know, Jennings hasn't always been healthy, but he certainly is the most equipped guy to be the lead guy in that backfield, and I think that Tom Coughlin knows that. Yeah. You know, he just likes to have a rotation. Remember, this is a guy who won Super Bowls, too, with a big back and a small back. You know, he this is what he did. You know, those years when he did win Super Bowls or when he's been mostly successful in his career, he had a good running back rotation. You know, he had a hammer and he had, you know, the smaller guy. He had the fleet of foot guy who could get open in space and catch passes out of the backfield. That's what he does. And that's what a lot of teams want to do anyway. Yeah. You know, it's nice to have the all-around, you know, running back, the Adrian Petersons, the Jamal Charles of the world, but not everybody has that. No. So you have to kind of make do with a, you know, a committee, and you know that's probably what they're going to do. But I still think the lead guy is Jennings, and probably still the best value.
Yeah, another crowded group of players is the Arizona wide receivers. Now that Michael Floyd's has an injury, do you think John Brown's price will become just a little bit too rich for you to take him in a redraft league?
Probably, and I think. The nice part of the their whole value of John Brown was this, is that we saw him sort of shine late last year, and everybody loves him, and coaches love him, and the quarterback loves him, and you know we saw the potential for him to be this big field stretching wide receiver. Now, if you look at the targets last year, okay, between the 3 wide receivers, meaning Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd, John Brown, they were pretty close, okay. They all had pretty close targets. I mean, it was very, very slight between the 3 wide receivers. There was no, like, clear number 1, clear number 2, clear number 3. This wasn't a big chunk situation. It was like, okay, yeah, but if they shifted this a little, this guy could be number 1. If they shift that a little, this guy could be number 1. And it made for an enticing scenario where if somebody likes this guy in your draft, then you get a better value a little bit later and wait for this guy to fall. And that's what was happening with Brown. Mm. Now he's getting talked up so much that with the injury to, you know, Floyd, it makes Brown almost kind of, you know, you have to watch that ADP. I bet he's going to keep climbing. And at some point he's going to surpass possibly Larry Fitzgerald. And not that I say, like, Larry Fitzgerald isn't the same guy that he used to be. I don't believe that he is. But I think that where he'll fall, I think a healthy Larry Fitzgerald back next year, he'll still be a better value than Brown will, because Brown's, I think, is going to end up climbing up past him, and there, you know, Carson Palmer's still going to look to Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, you're ridiculous if you don't. And I think that teams are going to start to key in on John Brown, because I do think that they feel like he's more of the downfield threat that's going to require safety help, and they're going to want to have somebody down there to kind of keep him in check. And that's going to leave Larry Fitzgerald probably, I'm not saying this for sure, in some scenarios, with a lesser cornerback.
Yep.
Now, I want that guy on my team, because I want the guy that's going to get the ugly sister, if you will, you know, in coverage.
Yes.
And I think that's basically, you know, how it's going to shake out. So for me, I'd rather have the cheaper option and the option that's probably going to see less coverage. He's getting a little bit older. And remember, guys, this happens every year. Happened to Steve Smith. Happens to everybody. Anquan Boldin. We want to get these guys ready for their pine box. We want to throw the dirt on them. But they just keep doing it every year. They keep commanding targets because they're polished veterans who command the trust of the quarterback. And in turn, they give them plenty of targets. And those are the guys that you want in your fantasy team.
Absolutely.
Okay, Johnny, finishing up, it's just kind of a weird gut feeling of mine that Tyler Eifert is going to have a good season. I don't know what it is, but I've just... He's kind of like my... If I'm desperate, all the tight ends that I kind of like are gone. I think he's the guy that I'm going to end up with. You can tear me down or you can agree with me. What do you think?
No, you know, I haven't been able to get him in a lot of NFL 10s, but I've been trying to.
Ah, you're on the same
And I like him. Let me tell you why I like him. Sweet. Because back a few years ago when he came out of Notre Dame, I said to a lot of people, this guy is a wide receiver, okay? That's going to have to develop into a blocker. Because he didn't do a lot of blocking in Notre Dame. But he's a very good wide receiver. And it was funny because I compared his wide receiving skills almost like a possession receiver, like an Alshon Jeffrey that wins like the contested catches. Because he's a big guy. He's a big, tall guy with big wingspan.
Massive.
You know, he's built like a tight end, but he's, you know, he has those arms like a wide receiver, and he catches like a wide receiver, which I know sounds weird to people, but he's making catches like wide receivers make. You know, over his head, contested catches, you know, jackknifing his body and pulling them down into his stomach and that kind of stuff. That those are wide receiver type plays. And I think that's what he is. He just hasn't had an opportunity. Now, Marvin Jones has been talked up a lot, but he hasn't been healthy. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. He's still hurt right now. And I know people still want to have, you know, him be the, you know, the second guy in this offense to kind of command targets and everything else. And Sanu's just sort of dropped off a little bit. But I do think Eifert is certainly ready, you know, to have that breakout season. This could be it. We could be shaking our heads next year, though, you know, that it's like a Kyle Rudolph situation. Like, so underwhelming, you know, Kyle Rudolph, you know. But that it could be that case, but I don't think it is. I think he's much more dynamic. He's a better pass catcher. I think he's better in space. I wouldn't say he's on a tier with Gronkowski or Kelce as an athlete, but I think he's pretty close, maybe just a tier below. And I think that's pretty great, especially when you're getting him in drafts. So, yeah, if I can get him, I will. I just haven't been able to because, you know, where he's being drafted, I'm usually, you know, drafting another, you know, running back or something like that or whatever. I mean, it's just, his ADP is climbing a little bit. But keep an eye on his ADP. I think if it stays, you know, pretty static, then you certainly want to be investing in him this year, I think.
Perfect.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks for
backing
me up there.
That's what we call confirmation bias, boys.
Yes, confirmation bias. Perfect. We'd like to thank you for coming on the show and spending some time with us. I know you are destined to be off into the Rhode Island night. You're heading towards a nice juicy burger and a few beers. So we really appreciate you giving a Friday night to us all the way down here, down under.
Absolutely. We'll do this again, and I do appreciate you guys, you know, wrangling the schedule to make this work, and it's been a pleasure. I mean, I love the fact that, you know, everywhere you go across the globe now, people are kind of into fantasy football. It's really catching fire, and I think that it's great to meet so many cool people, you know, from different countries, and so, you know, it's a pleasure. We'll do this again.
Absolutely. Where can people find you if they want to check out your work after they've heard all your information for us today?
Well, first of all, I want to give a shout out to my buddy Ray Summerlin, who's one half of my podcast, the Rummy and Ray Fantasy Football Podcast. You can follow us there at Rummy Ray Pod on Twitter, and my buddy Ray Summerlin at RM Summerlin. And you can follow me at Rumford Johnny, of course. All my crazy ramblings, and most of them are about fantasy football. But last night I was making fun of the Republican.
That photo was so good with Flacco and the two guys kissing. That was great.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, man, if you can't make fun of yourself, I mean, it's this country. I mean, I think it's great. I really wish. I mean, not to get too political here, but I really wish we had a better system of electing an official here. It's too long and drawn out in America, but it's worth making fun of. If it's just going to be around for us to poke fun of, then I'm going to do it. So.
Yeah, ours is very similar, so yeah, we're on the same page there.
That's unfortunate, man. Yeah, that's thank you so much, guys, and we'll do this again.
Perfect. Thanks, man. All right, that was Rumford Johnny from the Rummy and Ray podcast. Very detailed, very on point, very interesting strategies. Different to Sigmund Bloom in some regards, but that's what we provide here, variety.
A variety of different opinions.
Yes, absolutely. All right, that's it for the show today. You can follow me on Twitter at JYNFL.
And you can follow me at Josh Woot.
We are on Twitter as well, at Woot and Why. We're on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, on Instagram, Facebook. Check us out next week. We're back with Rich Harbrough from Fake Football. He has done fantastic team previews. Check it out. Please tell a friend to tell a friend and give us an iTunes review. Peace out.